best fried chicken I've ever had in my life. Coop's Place in New Orleans. They cook in the alley behind it.
Like they cook like meth?
Yeah, it's a meth shop.
It's a really cool place, actually. It's the only place that we ate at twice while we were there.
I bet you did. You know why it was so good?
So, yeah, it's all that meth that they put in there.
Right.
It's pretty good. Like, they sprinkle it in the batter. You can't tell. And then you're fucking eating meth chicken.
It's cocaine chicken.
And then you're up all night ready to fucking party. It's good.
Like, I want some more fucking chicken. That chicken was amazing. You know, I think I have an idea, guys. Okay, so we should start a new business, the Because Nerd Twinkies, I don't know, whatever. And we'll sprinkle a little bit of, you know what, in the food. But like, once we get people hooked.
Because Nerd Tweaker Twinkies.
Twinkers.
Twinkers?
The ultimate sugar buzz.
The ultimate sugar high. Twinkers. Twinkers is good. I like that.
Welcome to Because Nerd. It's the 15th day of September 2018 as we record this. This is our fifth episode. I'm your host, Chris Farrell, and I am once again joined by one of my best and oldest friends, Clint.
Hola, senor.
And one of my best and newest friends, Mike.
Back for round two.
Mike, the crack chicken loving dude.
That's right. So did you know that DC started doing Hanna-Barbera stuff? And so there's a Flintstone comic series that DC picked up and also started doing Jetsons as well. Have you guys seen those?
No, I did. I haven't seen those in particular.
It's like an interesting take on it. So with the Flintstone stuff, you know how they all have anthropomorphized animals. So like there's stuff where like in the first episode, the elephant vacuum cleaner dies and all the other house appliances are mourning him. I mean, I don't know that that's the main gist of what the comic is, but they kind of add in elements like that. Where it's not just like, yeah, whatever, you know, I've got a stork for a lamp. It's like, oh yeah, and sometimes they die.
That's pretty, I mean, hey, normal shit happens. You know, if the lamp's a pterodactyl, does it shit on the carpet? So he takes it out back and like rubs his nose in it. And he's like, that's a bad, bad lamp. And then he puts them back up. And so instead of being like bright, like it should be, it's a little dim.
They have shit like you come home and all your appliances are having orgies.
Oh, no, they're all castrated. She doesn't want it like peeing on stuff. They don't want it marking their territory in the house. It defeats the purpose.
All right, so the other one, man, the Jetsons, they're living in a world where a meteor struck the earth and kind of fucked up the way everything was, so they had to move into the sky. So they all live in their kind of cloud city. So they've kind of revamped the characters a little bit, and there's a really weird thing about it. Rosie, the robot, is actually the personality of George's dead mother.
Whoa.
So wait, George fully knows that Rosie is his mom?
Yes.
Okay. That's messed up.
Yeah. Like life was getting to be too painful and she decided to download herself into a robot.
You guys all know, like in the trope of mother-in-laws, the mother-in-law is always like hated by the wife. She's got the stepmother that's immortal living with them every day and every night. So Jane has got to live in hell. Can you imagine how shitty that would be for her?
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is really weird.
In this new comic, Jane is now an astrophysicist, and she probably still gets shit from Rosie all the time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You're not good enough for my boy. You come home and you're all tired because you're sick of working.
You think you're so smart all the time. Just because he takes a shower in a shower that washes his balls for him, you should still be doing that as a wife.
We were last time talking about that how all robots are somehow akin to sex bots. And I was like, that's a fucked up thing that his mom lives inside his house robot now.
That is weird. So they owned Rosie. And then one day, like Rosie gets an upgrade and it's his mom. And he's like, oh, come on, mom. Do you know the weird, crazy things I've done to this robot?
You weren't always my mother. You used to be a sex bot before we downloaded you in that goddamn thing.
It's pretty messed up if you think about it.
So out of the 95 comments on DC on this, pretty split. You know, some people are like, this is my favorite show, way to create a new model. And then other people are like, why, God, why have you abandoned us? You know, it's interesting. Like, think of like DC's moved like, okay, we're going to get all these old Hanna-Barbera properties, rework them, release comics. within like their competition with Marvel, and Marvel rewrites everything with like the characters changing, you know, they're different people. You come back gay, like Iceman. Between the companies, they're definitely both doing two different things.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So what else have you guys been into lately?
If you've never listened to the Serial podcast, it's amazing. If you've never listened to any other podcast, listen to the Serial podcast. It's fucking awesome.
I second that. It's fucking great.
It's great, man.
Okay, I got to check that out then, because I didn't even know about them.
This American Life is where I learned about them, and that's where Serial actually got started.
What's cool about Serial is that it's not just a podcast where they're talking about things. They conducted their own investigation of the crime and then did it as a podcast. It's really fucking cool, man. I couldn't get through it fast enough. I was listening to it like every chance I had, taking a shit, driving to work, whatever I was doing, I was listening to that podcast because it was amazing. I know podcasting was already big before that. It changed the game for me for podcasting because that's what got me into listening to podcasts. Shit, man, I listen to podcasts all the time now, mostly just a couple like Joe Rogan and Jamie Josta. But I mean, if there's like a conspiracy theory one, I just listened to one about the moon landing, and my God, it is really hard to not believe that that was fake. Just the major things, like they go into the Stanley Kubrick thing and how The Shining, and how they talk about like there's all those subtle hints and clues in The Shining that say that he was basically crying out to the people of the world to say, I'm sorry for like faking the moon landing, because he was supposed to be the one that faked it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things like where the pod landed on the moon. There's no dust that's moved. There's no nothing. The ground is completely settled. The shadows are all going the wrong way. There's never a star. Go back and look at any picture taken on the moon. There are no stars in the sky.
I can explain every one of those, though. Of course, the dust was not disturbed. There's no air. When it came down and landed, there is no air it's disturbing to push the dust. You're thinking of the way things move on Earth, but they won't move like that in a place that doesn't have an atmosphere. There's a reason there's not a star. It's because the stars are so dim in the background. So the exposure of just taking the picture of the planet, if they would have opened it long enough to get stars, would have been too bright to see the surface of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
They have no atmosphere, disrupting the light. So it's a much different intensity of sunlight that's coming down to them.
Mm-hmm.
If they would have overexposed, they would have gotten stars.
What about the shadows? Two different directions, two different light sources.
I'm pretty sure that's an optical illusion. If there's a slight hill or incline or decline, it would have the same effect.
It's fake. Optical illusion. That's a cop out.
I don't know. Chris has got me. I think he's debunking your conspiracy theory here.
All right. Well, there's another one. And a lot of the pictures, the camera they were using had a reticle, a black cross in the center of the camera. If you're taking a picture of something and the reticle is etched into the lens of the camera, there would never be anything before the reticle. Everything would be after the reticle. So you'd be looking at a flag, there'd be a reticle in front of the flag. There would never be a flag in front of that. There's multiple pictures where that has occurred, where the reticle is now behind a flag.
I think the Inhumans were probably sabotaging the adventures.
They probably were. That big stupid dog was there and he was like popping in and out of existence. And then fucking Black Bolt was whispering. And
you're like, Black Bolt, what do we do? Huh?
Black Bolt. Black Bolt, please.
Clint, I can't believe that you are trying to diss our friend Colin Cantwell, who saved the fucking astronauts landing on the moon. I had a 15-minute conversation with him about that whole thing already, and you're just sitting here talking shit about him.
I know, right? Death Star my ass. He didn't create no Death Star, and he didn't help the moon landing. He's a fake. He's paid for by Kubrick. Yeah, so check out those pictures, though. Google moon landing reticle pictures. You'll see what I'm talking about.
If they went to that much trouble to try to fake this whole thing and they fucked up something so simple as the way that they place a cross in there, what would be their technique that they were like, let's half put it behind the picture? Like, that doesn't, I don't even understand how that.
They describe it as like they overlaid the picture in it, and I guess they didn't have Photoshop back then. So they fucking, you know, they weren't able to adjust it.
Which makes it even harder to like fuck the layers up.
Right.
If they're trying to add the reticle thing in later, it would definitely be the thing on top.
Yeah, right.
That sounds like they had to try to fuck that one up.
Exactly. Yeah, it's crazy. Look it up.
I didn't realize we were just going to turn into a true crime conspiracy podcast, but here we go. So we're just going to jump on that bandwagon. So,
yeah, right.
There was an actual interview that I watched, and he was an actual astronaut, and he's like, there's no way we can get past the Van Allen radiation belt. It's just physically impossible. It would cook us. There's not an amount of shielding and speed you would take to get through it. And he was going on and on about how the moon landing was fake because of that radiation belt. What do you have to say about that one, Chris?
So you're saying there's like a couple of guys who will say that they were part of it and will say that it was a hoax.
Yeah.
And that. And then you're also saying there were thousands of other people who somehow all were paid enough money to stay quiet. And have you ever tried to just get like five people together? You can't even fucking get them to like stay on message just for a weekend.
Right.
And you think these people have done this for decades?
Well, Chris, yes, let's talk about this. There were hard LSD trials in the 60s. Where everybody that was subjected to it, including the astronauts, were subjected to very high levels of LSD, and they were all told by Satan that it was all fake.
You've convinced me. I've got no argument anymore.
I'm telling you, dude, this shit's for real. It's false flags, bro.
Once you invoke the LSD argument, there's no turning back.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, like, speaking of, like, LSD and stuff, like, I watch a lot of Joe Rogan, and he's a huge proponent of DMT.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that's in ayahuasca, which is, like, what all the Native Americans use and all their spirit journeys or whatever, like the peyote kind of stuff.
The spirit molecule.
Spirit molecule, man. Yeah, I watched that documentary, and it just sounds so goddamn fascinating. Like, everybody that does it talks about how it changes their lives. Like, everybody that comes on the Joe Rogan podcast reports on the same thing happening. Like geometric patterns, you feel like you're going towards something, like there's like a falling thing. You go into some other dimension, some other realm, and there's all this talk. It's all like you've broken the barrier, mumbo jumbo hippie shit, but it's like this life-changing event that like opens their eyes. Well, the other crazy thing about it too is that DMT is already in the human brain. It's a chemical we already produce in certain times of our life. So like near-death experiences, when you're extremely frightened, like you're about to fall off a building or you fall off a building.
Like you do.
Like in extreme bouts of trauma, that's what is going on is the gland in your brain is releasing DMT. And that's what gives you these, there was a bright light or I felt this or I saw that.
Your brain's like, man, you are fucked, dude. Here, at least let me give you a really cool trip.
It's like, let me show you the afterlife, bro, because you're about to become tomato paste on the concrete.
Like ayahuasca. That's pretty popular out there now. Like lots of people go do it. You know, there's Robin Quivers on Howard Stern talks about her thing going through a different country doing ayahuasca. But have you ever seen the Netflix show Chelsea Handler did?
I've seen it.
One of the episodes is Chelsea Handler does drugs. There's a bunch of different little scenes in there, right? One of them, she's sitting around a table with a bunch of friends and they're just going to eat a bunch of edibles. So they get all high and eat stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then one of the segments is she goes to like a ayahuasca master and does the drug and everything. Basically, it looks horribly miserable. Like she's just sweating and sick.
And it's like puking.
Yeah. And like by the time she's done, she's like, yeah, I didn't learn shit. Nothing but a bad trip. <You know?
laughs> Dude, well, I just think we just came up with a new guy. I am ayahuasca master.
He just shows up like looking fucking sick and like hungover all the time. And
he shows up to the fight just sick. And like every time he shows up, they're all like, oh, God damn it. Why is he here again? And he's always like, hey, guys, what's going on? Bro, we're going to trip out. It's going to be so great. Oh, God damn it, guys. This sucks. Oh, I'm having a bad trip, guys.
Hold on. My trip's really getting shitty.
Stop. Stop, Magneto. I am ayahuasca master. I will open your mind to the fit. Oh, Jesus Christ, this sucks. You guys got to stop fighting, like, please. He shows up to every fight and, like, preaches about the spirit drugs and, like, how they need to open their minds. And, look, Sabretooth, you're way too aggro, bro. Like, you're half cat. Take some of this ayahuasca, man. This is going to help you. And then he just throws up and gets sick and passes out.
And then they all just sit around moping in misery, vomiting and crying. He's like, nobody wins, man. No one.
You're never going to win, bro. It's not going to happen. Or he shows up and like he diffuses the situation by talking about hippie shit. And then he convinces everybody to take ayahuasca. And then next scene in the panel, they're all just sitting around in a drum circle. Like you got Magneto, Sabretooth.
Oh, hey, yeah. Oh.
You guys, did you guys know my hair has a personality, guys? I can feel the air all around me. Oh my God. Speaking of Magneto, I saw this video the other day on like Dorkly and it was so funny, man. Like it was all set up like an old Nintendo game and it's the old X-Men game. And so like Magneto shows up, they keep bringing in guys to fight him. And like first Captain America comes in, he's like, stop Magneto. I will stop you with my super metal shield. And he throws the shield. Magneto throws it back at him, knocks him out. And then like different guys keep showing up. Like Iron Man shows up and he's like, I'm here guys. What's going on with Magneto? And he gets pushed into like a little ball and dies. And then like the last guy that shows up is Thanos. And he's like, oh, you'll never defeat me. I have all the ju-. And he like Magneto pulls the glove off and puts it on. He's like, the fucking glove is made of metal, you idiot. And then he kills everybody. Speaking of Magneto, the other day, there's this drone company that they fly around and do like cool aerial drone stuff. It's like a documentary kind of thing. They took a drone and they flew it through Auschwitz. So they flew through the death camp and they flew over to where they would execute people. I mean, it was pretty eerie and pretty cool to watch. But they're flying and they go down to the scene where they've got those two long chain link fences where they separated men and women. And you're like, man, dude, this sucks. I can't believe that shit happened. This is how you know you're a super fucking nerd. I'm watching this video and all I can think about is when Magneto like loses his family and pulls the fence down. And I was like, wait a minute.
All right. See what else? Let's try to get on track with some of the things we were going to talk about.
Man, we should probably just take a minute up front here to moment of silence for old Burt.
Burt Reynolds, pretty important part of my childhood.
Absolutely, man.
You've had suspicions that he was secretly your dad?
I hope so.
Do you remember back before VHS tapes came out, there was beta tapes, mm-hmm. and then there was video discs. And they're like the size of a record album.
They were called laser discs, man.
Right.
Not video disc, you old fart.
Laser disc. Okay, yeah, sorry.
He's back in the day, man.
Back in the day, we had these things called video circles, and they were made of plastic.
Actually, we still have a whole stack of those and the player. And back then when they first came out, betas had pornos, VHS had absolutely nothing. All of the movies were getting put on the laser discs. So we had a stack of the discs, and Smokey and the Bandit's one of them. We watched it constantly, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Best line in the movie, Buford T. Justice is telling Junior to get in the car after they get in another accident, and he's holding the bumper. No way. No way you came from my loins. When I get home, I'm going to punch your mama in the mouth.
That is probably one of the best lines in any movie of all time, actually.
Yeah. Oh, that's the best.
He did so many good movies, man.
Oh, yeah. Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights, yep.
All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Yep. Dude, you guys remember Double Dare from Nickelodeon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just watched this morning, there was a scene where he was on Jay Leno. He was with Mark Maron from Double Dare.
Mark Summers.
Shit, Mark Summers.
Yeah, I was like, Mark Maron is not the guy you're talking about.
Sorry, Mark Summers. Mark Maron, Jesus Christ. Mark Summers. Just go back after this and like put Mark Summers. Put that in over, Chris. Well, he's on there and he's on a book tour that's like failing and he's getting a divorce from his wife and like he's just super pissy. Like he's in a bad mood. Mark comes and sits down, but he's got his back to Burt Reynolds. And Mark turns over and he's like, says something to him. And Burt Reynolds is like, I've been talking to your fucking back all night. And he's like, oh, sorry. And he sits up and turns and like, you're like, wait a minute, is this real? Like, is it acted out or is he really pissed? Mark makes a pun about how he's still married. Dude, Burt Reynolds throws a glass of water on Mark Summers. And then they just fight for the next 5 minutes back and forth with puns. Like, that's what I said to your mom. That's what I said to your wife. Just shit back and forth. It was awesome. And at the very end, they bring in two pies. Because at the end of Double Dare, they like put pies in the faces of the people.
Yeah.
At the very end, they go back to back, like, and they throw pies at each other. It was an awesome interview with Burt Reynolds.
Do you know how he ended up becoming an actor? So he was, like, on his way to be a professional football star. Got hurt, couldn't be a football player anymore, and then, you know, became an actor from there. And then he did the Longest Yard.
Some of the stuff I checked out about him that I thought was interesting was he actually turned down the role for James Bond, which he did out of respect because he said James Bond should not be an American.
Yeah.
And then another one he turned down was Han Solo.
I did just read that the other day.
I remember hearing that.
I couldn't see Burt Reynolds as Han Solo, though. No way.
Yeah, I'm going to do the Kessel Run. Sorry, I'm just thinking of Norm McDonald's, Burt Reynolds from SNL.
Burt Reynolds is here, and he has apparently changed his name to Turd Ferguson. I am not going to call you Turd Ferguson. Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you are.
That's my name. That's my name now.
Would Han Solo have had the mustache? Would he have kept the mustache for Han Solo?
Oh, God, yeah. Of course he would have.
He would have had to.
No one would have shaved Burt's mustache.
He would have only done the vest, no white shirt.
Just a vest with nothing underneath. Mustache, yeah. Chewing gum all the time. He's like, hey, Chewie.
Hey, Chewie, prepare for light speed.
Yeah, I should have really brushed up on my Burt Reynolds impersonations before this podcast. But yeah, man, Smokey and the Bandit, Dukes of Hazzard, Knight Rider, A-Team. Those are the four shows growing up that like spawned my love of cars.
Yeah.
If I was rich, dude, I'd have a Bandit Trans Am.
The Bandit Trans Am has been my favorite since whenever I seen it when I was a kid. Of course, the Dukes of Hazzard generally, but the Trans Am, that is by far the coolest.
You know what's funny about the Trans Am? Like, if you're a car guy and like you're into cars at all and you kind of know, cars nowadays are wildly overpowered. Like, the new Camaros are like 500 horsepower. It's ridiculous. Back in the day, like, you would look at the Bandit Camaro and think he's doing burnouts. He's driving real fast. They were slow as shit. Even the high output ones.
It's only like 170 horsepower or something, isn't it?
It was around there.
You saying Ikea Rio has more horsepower
than the Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am, dude. I am not joking you. I am not joking. What's crazy too, if you go back and watch Smokey and the Bandit, all of the burnouts that he does, there's one tire burning out because it doesn't have positive tractions. And then most of the time it starts like in dirt and like you'll see dirt flying, like he peels out into dirt. So like if I got one, I would have to immediately swap out like an LS engine and make it fast because there's no way I could own a Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am and then like have it slower than Chris's Kia Rio. There's a company that's getting really big. They take new gen Camaros, like the newest Camaros, and they strip them down and make a Pontiac Firebird, like the Bandit Trans Am, but on the brand new Camaro. And then they supercharge it, make it have like 1,000 horsepower. If you get a chance, look those up. It's some of the coolest cars ever, man. Super cool.
I've seen those. Yeah, they're incredible.
Yeah, I just want them to make up some wildly crazy story where they were like, Burt Reynolds today died at 82, trying to jump his Bandit Camaro over a bridge.
He was driving with his feet while banging hookers in the back seat.
While doing a line of coke.
Speaking of banging, you got to check out this list of all the chicks that Burt Reynolds was with. Bruce should have died a very happy man because this list is pretty good. I mean, granted, there's some clunkers on here, but...
Well, when you look at them all, how in their old, in their real age right now.
They partied hard back in those days, man. That amount of drugs and alcohol wear on you. Look at Mike.
Okay, I don't care what you say. This list of 20 chicks that Bruce banged in his lifetime, he was still banging all the hottest chicks around. Did you get to check out Burt Reynolds' naked spread that he did? It's a treat.
I'm pretty sure it was Playgirl, wasn't it? Hold on.
I'm just going to Google Burt Reynolds naked. Cosmo. It was Cosmo. And he's kind of laying there like Cleopatra with his hand covering his balls.
Yeah.
On a bearskin rug, by the way.
Oh, I've seen that picture plenty of times. You guys keep saying Bruce. Did he go by Bruce sometimes?
We've been calling him Bruce. Yeah. Mike has been calling him Bruce for the last half an hour.
We're going to have to go back and edit this. Burt. Okay.
who the fuck is Bruce Reynolds?
Burt.
Dude, that's a t-shirt. I want to get a scripting t-shirt that just says, Because Nerd. And on the back it says, who the fuck is Bruce Reynolds? Goddamn it, that's so funny to me. Holy shit. I just realized I looked up in my Google search and I literally searched for Bruce Reynolds Playgirl.
Oh, I know, and it comes up because I just did that too.
It came up with a bunch of other guys that are not Burt Reynolds. And I was like, why is there a black dude on here? I don't know. That's not Bruce Reynolds. I mean, Burt Reynolds. Oh my God, that hurt.
Okay. Whew. I was like, maybe he's got a nickname I didn't know about. But, okay.
This was definitely a very classy tribute to Bruce. I mean, Burt Reynolds.
Good old Bruce Reynolds.
I'm going to blame it on recording early.
I blame it on you because you got me started. And then, of course, it's like one of those things where everybody else yawns. So when you start calling him Bruce Reynolds, everybody else starts calling him Bruce Reynolds.
I got to get these photos off my screen here. Gotta
clear my history real quick.
Bruce Reynolds would have been like, yeah, I don't give a fuck.
All joking aside, we renamed...
That's Turd
Ferguson.
Yes, Turd Ferguson.
All joking aside, Turd Ferguson rules.
Yeah, Turd Ferguson absolutely rules, man. Rest in peace, Turd. Love you, man.
So I think at this point, a porn-themed quiz seems most adequate to follow the conversation that we just had. So I think that we should just roll right on into porn or comics.
Let's do it. Okay, you ready? We're going to go for question number one.
Turd Ferguson for 500, Alex.
First question, ready? This leather thong, it still has your teeth marks in it.
Ooh, This leather thong. I don't think leather thong would be in a comic.
You don't?
It's kind of taboo, right?
It made me think of an old Batman.
Well, anything can make me think of an old Batman.
Speaking of Batman... Burt Reynolds would have been a great Batman.
With the mustache. They're like, wait a minute.
Bruce, is that you in that cowl? No, it's Batman.
No, it's not me.
So where are we leaning on the question? Is that a comic panel or porn?
I'm going porn, man. I don't know. No, I don't know, though. I can't imagine a porn scene where he's like, these thumbs still got your teeth marks. Like, it doesn't make sense for porn, actually.
Dude, there's been a lot of porn.
True.
And dialogue is not what they are generally known for.
True.
I'm leaning comic, though. I feel like there's a character out there. I mean, I don't really think it's Batman, but I could easily see there being a sidekick that was trapped in something and they were like stuck to each other trying to like chew their way out. and then afterwards having a little talk after they've gotten free of whatever they're doing. And he's like, damn, this leather thong still got your teeth marks in it right now.
He's like, Robin, did you know that it was just a simple knot? I could have untied it with my hand. You didn't have to eat my fucking underwear, dude.
It felt necessary at the time.
I'm going porn.
Okay, who gets the point?
Okay, so this is a point to Chris.
Boom.
And so on target, it is a Batman panel. And as a matter of fact, Robin has the leather thong in his hands as he asked a question to Batman.
So Batman chewed through his thong?
I have no idea why, but weird.
Holy leather thong, Batman.
Here's the next question. Comic panel or porn? This is no dream, baby. This is happening.
That's porn.
Ooh.
That's totally porn. Ooh. I think every one of my answers is going to be porn.
I mean, it's weird that he'd say baby.
Wait, yeah, what was it? Say it again. What was it again, Mike?
This is no dream, baby. This is happening.
Okay, this is no dream. So I could see like another Batman, and I could see like Scarecrow, because Scarecrow has that juice that he sprays all over you. And he's like, you know, Batman's like, holy shit. Oh my God, I must be dreaming. And he's like, it's no dream. This shit's real.
Except you call him baby.
Yeah, but he's like a 1920s scarecrow. He's like, yeah, baby, you see what I'm saying here? Or he's like the Rat Pack scarecrow. He's like, yeah, baby.
See, I was imagining this was more like X-Men. They think they're in some kind of psychic dreamscape. And then one of them is like, this is no dream, baby. This is really happening.
Oh, no, no, no. I've got it. Ayahuasca Master shows up, right? And he's like, hey, everybody, just calm down. He gives everybody their peyote, you know, their ayahuasca, and they're all tripping. And they're like, this must be a dream. He's like, that's no dream, baby. This is real. That's it. I'm going comics.
Ayahuasca Master, I think, reminds me of Rick from Rick and Morty. I just see him, like, showing up. Just like, hey, here, take this. You need, this is no dream, baby. This is really happening. You got to.
No, no. He's got to be like a spirit shaman that's, like, super quiet and, like, Hey, everybody, here, take this ayahuasca. It will make you feel better.
All right, as much as I want to believe it's a comic, I think you've delved into a porn for that one.
Okay, and Clint's saying comic.
Comic, yep, I got comic.
Oh, man, Clint, you're losing this.
Fuck.
Boom.
Chris wins with another point.
I don't care what you say, man. It's Ayahuasca Master, damn it.
That was none other than the gay porn star, John Vincent.
you of all people should have known that one.
Oh, good old Johnny Vincent. Should have known. I've got the whole collection of...
John Vincent's gay porn collection, you got that?
It's a parody of Aliens, but all about butt play.
Anilians?
Anilians.
The Anilians.
Anilians, that's it.
Turn around and spread your cheeks. In the pipe, 5x5.
5x5. Ripley, we've got to get out of the ship.
But first, show me your butthole.
But before we do, get in that front end loader and let's fuck.
Turn your loading bay this way and let me see if I can dock on in.
Vasquez, you're such a guy, and I think you're pretty hot. I could do this all day with aliens. That's awesome. An alien shows up, and it's just a dude with, like, a shitty alien costume on, but a big wiener hanging out. Oh, no, it's an alien. And then, like, instead of another mouth coming out of the big mouth, it's a little wiener.
I'm betting that that's actually been made and it's out there.
Oh, yeah, I got to find out now. I got to see if there's an alien parody porn.
All right, you guys ready for another one?
Wait a minute. Last thing about aliens. Game over, man. Game over.
What are you supposed to do now? Sucks my dick.
What are you supposed to do now? Use no lube? Game over, man. Game over. I've already spent my load. Okay, this is horrible. Come on, Mike. Let's keep going.
What am I supposed to do? Cup the balls?
Here we go. Next question. Now the stuff is all over me, and from the taste of it, it's not whipped cream.
That's got to be. That's comics.
I agree. This one has to be comics. That's like so blatantly obvious.
It's way too obvious. It's got to be an old Batman comic. All of these have to be old Batman comics.
I'm not convinced it's Batman.
No, Spider-Man. I think it's a Spider-Man comic. I think it's an old Spider-Man comic where Spider-Man like flips some dude in the face with his webbing.
I'm not sure who I think it is, but I totally think it's like some guy with powers that shoots something out. Or they might have just like shot an alien and he it exploded and guts got all over them or something like that. I think this is a comic panel though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
It's so blatant.
Okay. So I didn't really get you on this one. You guys are both on the right track. It's definitely a comic, but it was Superman.
Oh, Lord.
Ooh, Superman.
Well, I mean, Superman can punch a dude and it turns into mist. So, yeah.
It was kind of like an alien robot character shooting jizz out of his hand.
AKA another precursor to sex robots.
I mean, Kryptonians, they're into all kinds of stuff. Just because he looks like an Earthling, don't confuse it. They have very different things that they're into.
Little known thing about Kryptonian anatomy is they jizz out of their hands. So really, you think that robot has some weird thing going on. It's just a sex doll that they created, and that's just normal.
Oh. So finger banging in high school on Krypton is way more risque.
Way more risque. Like, you get caught finger banging in high school in Krypton, you're going to detention, bro.
Yeah.
Why do you think they never let Superman shoot anything out of his hands like every other superhero?
Right. He can do everything else. He can rip S's off his chest.
He can go back in time.
I mean, shoots lasers. He's got ice breath. But yeah, never shot anything out of his hand.
Why do you see Lois Lane never holding his hand or giving him a hand massage?
His fingers start to just stand up really, really tall.
I can't close my hand, Lois. Lois, stand back. I can't close my hand.
It's going to blow. Oh, no. Oh, I'm covered in all this stuff, and it's definitely not whipped cream.
This is definitely not whipped cream, Clark.
Interesting that Superman was tasting it.
Well, maybe he couldn't help it. I mean, it got in his mouth, man.
Right.
I told you, Kryptonians, they're into all kinds of stuff. It's a different world.
Nice.
Ready to see if I can get you another one?
Yep.
Come on.
Okay, here we go. I have information on a man, a possible terrorist that has breached your borders.
Oh, that's a good one. No sexual innuendo there. Well, maybe. I guess you could turn it into sexual innuendo.
I think you guys are going to pretty much turn all of this into sex at one way or another.
It's like the Jack Ryan porno parody.
Right, right.
He's interrogating a guy, but he's about to bang him. He's like, I've got information on a guy who's breached your borders. Me.
Who's got two thumbs is breaching your borders? This guy. Oh, God. Okay, just based on the simple fact that I had to really try to turn this sexual, I'm going to go with porno.
I think this is a porno, too. I don't know what the fuck it's about, but I think that you've looked up a porno.
Yeah, but I want to know. I want to know now.
Yeah, and if you could give me the link, I'd appreciate it.
You guys each get a point. Maybe I'm not that good at this game, but it is Wonder Woman XXX.
Oh, throwing a curveball in there, eh?
Oh, okay. It kind of was a little bit of both.
Nice. Good, good. I like where your head's at. Get it? Get it? I like where your head's at? Hey,
yeah.
A little innuendo there for you. I'm talking about a wiener, guys, in case you don't know.
Question number 5. What if this was to get into the city's milk supply?
Ooh. Ooh, God. I can't see a porno having that. That's got to be comic.
Wait, now that I know that there are Wonder Woman pornos.
Yeah, true. This is true. But I'm going comic because some dumb comic back in the 50s, you know, one of them were like, you know, milk was a big deal because they used to deliver milk to your doorstep. And so they had to put in some stupid thing. Like the dairy farmers of America were like, we're not getting enough freaking play in these comics today. Truckers got to be in one with US-1. We won our day in court, you know, and then they come out. And they're like, OK, we'll make Batman talk about fucking milk.
I think it's going to be like another split one. I think you're on the right track, except for then the milk guy comes and delivers it. And then he's like, I think your fridge might be broken. It doesn't seem like this milk's going to stay fresh. I'm going to have to come in and help to freshen it up for you. Oh, it's getting really hot in here now.
Yeah. Catwoman, she drinks milk. Remember? Like in the movies, she's just cat. It could be a Catwoman porno.
Okay. What is it again?
Well, yeah, say it again.
What if this was to get in the city's milk supply?
Oh, so I see the Joker standing up above like a vat of milk, and he's like, what if this was to get into the city's milk supply? And he's talking to like some guy who's got like a, you know, he's got like a poison and he's going to poison the city because obviously in the 20s, like everybody drank milk. That's all they had.
He's just talking to like a lead contractor. They're like looking at specs of a warehouse that he's building. And he's like actually kind of worried about.
He's an OSHA inspector.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I don't know if this is actually safe. I mean, what if my chemicals were to get into the city's milk supply because of this?
There's no cover over this vat. What if this was to get into the city's milk supply? Damn it, I'm shutting you down for 2 months.
This doesn't even have railing against it. There's no way this is going to check out.
This is terrible. How do you think I got this white face? I'm horribly scarred because there was no railing and I fell into a vat myself.
I can't believe you're so negligent on this. I'm not paying you for this. I'm getting a new contractor.
I mean, I'm the goddamn Joker. You've seen it happen before. It'll happen again. I'm going comic. It's too vanilla. I'm going comic.
I'm going to go porn. I've been doing well up to now. I can burn one if I need to. I'm going porn.
Well, Chris, you don't have to burn one because you win.
Snap! That was a porno?
I have to say, you guys are so amazingly on target where this could go. because it actually was Catwoman with a K, triple X, porn parody.
Wow. Oh, man, I'm pretty good at this. Oh, that is amazing. Holy shit.
Oh,
who would have known? I'm still going with the Joker, goddammit. My name's the Joker, and I'm the OSHA inspector for Sector 25 in Gotham. This bat is horribly unprotected. What if it got into the city's milk supply? Everyone would look like me.
All right, ready?
Yep.
Bring it.
It makes me feel tingly all over, and then nothing. There should be bells ringing, dams bursting, bombs going off.
Damn.
Ooh, that's a good one. It's tough.
If it's a porn, it's like early in the porn, before things are really getting heated up.
Yeah, like the porn, like maybe the porn is like the guy shows up and he's at the doctor's office and he's like, Doc, I've got ED real bad, man. I just can't seem to get it up and I don't know what the problem is. And the doctor's like a super hot girl with giant boobs. And she's like, you know what? I know what your problem is. You need this. And she pulls out, you know, whatever she has. And she's like, here, take this. And he's like, you know, Doc, nothing's happening. Like it should be, bells should be ringing, you know, waterfalls should be exploding, whatever.
Yeah, it should be standing erect like a fucking Gibraltar, you know?
Yeah, and she's like, oh, okay, well, maybe this will work. And then she, I think it could be porno. Because of the scenario I just cooked up in my head, I think it could be a porno. Or it could also be somebody getting their superpowers. Like there's a kid and he's like Billy Batson and Shazam is like, hey, here's the powers of Shazam. And he's like, no, man, nothing's working. It should be, you know, I should be hearing bells and whistles.
You literally stole my idea. I was about to talk about Shazam.
Were you really? Nice.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to imagine. It's like the wizard comes to Shazam and he's like, I'm going to give you my powers of Shazam. And he's like, all you have to do is say my name and you'll get the powers. And then like he goes out and it, like he sees a robbery or something. But I don't know why it went wrong.
He forgets. It's at Shazam and he says like Shazoom and nothing happens. Chicken shawarma. What was it again? That sucks. Like the kid gets the powers of Shazam, but he can never remember the name because he only got to see the wizard once and he didn't write it down. And he was like, fuck, what was that word again? Shawarma, shiitake, fuck, what was it?
He was like really drunk when the wizard came to him and he just couldn't quite remember it. Like, yeah, the wizard's like, my name is Shazam. He's like, after I tell you this, I will disappear forever. All you have to do is remember my name and you will have my powers.
The kid's like, you know, it's like these days, like weed's legal now. So the kid's super high and he's like, man, did I just see a wizard just show up and his name was shiitake? Like, what the fuck? What just happened, man? And he totally leaves and Shazam's like, damn it, stupid kids of today.
He's like fading out into nothingness and he's like, God damn it, why did I pick him to give my powers to?
I said Shazam! The kid gets all brave. And he walks out into the street and like the bad guy shows up and like Black Adam shows up and he's like, ha ha, little kid, you'll never defeat me. And he goes to like punch him and the kid gets really cool. And he's like, that's all right. I'm going to say the word right before I get punched because it's going to turn me into this big strong guy. And he's all bazooka and his head explodes because Black Adam like just wastes his head.
He never actually gets into crime fighting because he couldn't remember the shit and it doesn't go out. But like later on, he goes to college. He's getting banged by a couple of chicks. It's like a really awesome night and he's just really feeling it. It just kind of comes out of him. He's just like, Shazam! And like, poof, like he turns into like this big dude, but like they just explode because the power comes out of him. And he's like, well, son of a bitch.
If you ever see, whenever he says Shazam, a giant lightning bolt strikes and he's defeated right. Many a foe by like holding onto them and saying Shazam. So he's in his dorm room and he's like, Yeah, Betty, I love you. I'm going to love you forever. You're my best girlfriend. Oh, I'm going, Shazam! She explodes all over the walls. Like electricity shoots down through the roof. He turns into Shazam. He's like, oh shit, now I got to fucking hide this body.
Okay, this went down a very interesting path, but it's not Shazam.
All right, so let's see. The answers are...
Porno, a guy in an office talking to a doctor who's giving him the miracle cure for erectile dysfunction, and then she blows him. Or... a comic book where Shazam forgets the name of the wizard.
I love the porno when I'm going porno.
All right, I'm going porno too. I'm going porno too, Mike.
Okay, you guys got me.
Nice.
It's Linda Lovelace from Deep Throat.
Yeah. Oh, a quintessential porno, man. Nice.
Wow.
That's awesome.
I got a perfect streak. I got every single one of them.
Damn. I'm not doing two. I only got, what, two wrong, right?
You got half of them. I mean, that's, you know, it's all right.
Horribly terrible at this, but hey, I can come up with some good scenarios, all right? I may be wrong, but at least the ones I'm thinking of are right.
Oh, shit.
Shazam.
And now, a special Because Nerd presentation of Movie Talk about the Nicolas Cage psycho horror thriller film, Mandy.
Wacky Movie Reviews.
Yeah. So, it's Clint and your boy.
Yeah.
Talking about the movie Mandy. Feel good movie of the summer.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm glad we got one more.
What was the last feel good hit of the summer for you?
Don't want to say Avengers.
Thinking of all the movies recently, the first thing that popped up in my head was Avengers. Without having to think about it too hard, it must have made a lasting impression because I love that movie, but that was the first thing I thought of. But yeah, let's talk about Mandy because we just both watched it yesterday. This is probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite, Nicolas Cage movie he's ever done. What say you on that?
So Nicolas Cage does have some quality movies without him being a nut.
Like the guy that buys a $1 million comic book collection and like a dinosaur fucking skull.
Yeah. What enticed me into this movie was Nicolas Cage squared. This is the most cagey movie ever.
You know what I was thinking about last night when I was watching it? One of my other favorite movies Nicolas Cage has done is Face Off, right? He went into a cagey moment in Face Off where, if I can remember right, they switch faces, and at the end, him and Travolta are fighting, and he starts singing that song where he gets all crazy, and he's like, I'm ready! Ready for the big time, baby! And like he just kind of gets into that weird Nicolas Cage thing that he does. This movie was the most cagey movie, but I'm trying to think of other Nicolas Cage movies. Let's see, there's Ghost Rider.
Drive Mad.
Drive Mad, where he's like driving like the, he's driving, his daughter gets kidnapped, right?
Dude, I can't remember. I remember that there's a scene where he's fucking a girl in a hotel room.
Right.
And he is shooting people.
Yeah, he's like murking guys. No, that's a different movie, isn't it? There's a movie where he's having sex, and as dudes are breaking in the room, he's like capping them while he's banging the girl, but I don't think that was Nicolas Cage.
No, that was Nicolas Cage. That was definitely Cage. That was, like, super Cage.
Are you sure? It's Drive Angry.
Oh, you don't believe me? Oh, I see. I mean, I don't know if it really qualifies as a sex scene. I mean, I guess it is. But like you said, maybe it's Drive Angry, not Drive Mad.
I know, we're getting off track here for sure. However, it is in vain of Cage. I digress. Nicolas Cage is the best. I've been a fan of Nicolas Cage forever. I love Nicolas Cage, everything he's ever done. I especially love the fact that he went for Superman, and when he did, Tim Burton was like, yeah, Nicolas Cage is the best Superman. And not only that, let's give him a stringy, greasy-haired mullet, because that's what Superman should have. And that was amazing. I really wish they would have made that movie.
It does look goddamn ridiculous, but I would love to see it.
It was a real thing. But anyway, Mandy. Let's explain the experience going in. Explain your experience of how you saw Mandy yesterday.
Basically, me and the wife had a couple movies to watch. I look and I see that I can watch Mandy. I look it up. Good reviews. Horror movie. I love horror movies. I was like, yeah, let's do this shit. Let's fucking watch Mandy. It actually woke my wife up and said, hey, come on, let's watch this really cool movie. It's Nicolas Cage versus a bunch of cultists.
Which is kind of crazy, too. Like, I can't even imagine waking up to watch that movie. I hope your wife felt it was the most amazing experience she's ever had.
Yeah, that's an interesting point you pull up. No, she did not. We sat down. I think it took about 20 minutes into the movie. She already gave me dirty looks.
Which we all know, if anybody else listens to Because Nerd, you don't have the best track record when it comes to watching movies with your wife. You know, the old slip in the porno on accident.
Oh, yeah.
She's probably had enough of your shit, so I can imagine she wakes up.
Yeah.
And she's like, come on, man. You want me to watch what? Mandy? Like, with Nicolas Cage? Whatever.
So I tricked her, because it's called Mandy. It could be like a romantic comedy. You know.
Yeah, like it's a love story.
And she's like,
Remember the last time we watched Ash versus the Evil Dead? It's kind of like that. I mean, it really...
Well, it wasn't Ash versus Hollywood, which is what I downloaded.
Right, right.
Which turned it out to be a hardcore porno.
Exactly.
So the movie sets up with Nick Cage in the Northwest Pacifics.
It reminded me of Logan. Remember Logan? Or was it Logan? Or Wolverine? Well, any Wolverine movie. It starts off, he's like a lumberjack in the Pacific Northwest.
It's a little like Logan.
He's got a beard. He's like hard day's work. He jumps in the helicopter, which was kind of weird. He's like a logger in Alaska, but he jumps in a helicopter instead of a truck. So I was like, what the fuck? One thing I want to point out is the kick-ass Bronco that he drives, or the truck that he drives, is amazing, but we'll get back to that. I loved it from the jump. The movie starts off, and this is my exact thought when I started watching the movie. One, Wolverine, right? I was like, all right, so he's a grizzled logger from the Pacific Northwest. And then two, he's in a helicopter with like a skinny guy trying to hand him a beer, and I thought Predator. So right away, like the way it was filmed and like the scene, the darkness, everything was like Logan mixed with Predator. So I was in from the first 30 seconds of the movie. He's walking up to the helicopter, right? And like most of the time, like when you go to a helicopter, you kind of duck down, you don't want to hit the blades. No, none of that. And he's smoking a cigarette, which is really weird looking. Like it looks like he doesn't know how to smoke a cigarette. The director's like, hey, you really got to smoke a cigarette in this scene because it makes you look super tough. Nicolas Cage was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll smoke. So he like walks up to the helicopter, but when he throws his cigarette out of his mouth, he throws it in like the weirdest way. It's very subtle and very weird.
You're ruining the movie for me.
Sorry.
The weird cigarette throw? I could give a fuck about the weird cigarette throw. We're talking about Mandy. Let's get back on track.
Sorry. Okay, forget I said anything about the weird cigarette throw.
Did you think this was a lighthearted movie about, like,
No, I just thought, like, I know that it's a campy horror movie where he's killing a bunch of fucking cultists, right? However, a slightly chubby, kind of out of shape Nicolas Cage walking up, throwing a weird cigarette throw. It just threw the movie off because I was, like, expecting it to be here. But that first couple seconds, I was like, is this whole movie going to suck because of that one cigarette throw to me? But it didn't, and we can continue. I've talked enough about the cigarette throw. But pay attention to it next time you watch it.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it again.
Yes, you are.
All right. So the director is really into heavy metal and 80s horror movies. There are several parts in the movie that are animated, like heavy metal.
The director, in my opinion, is someone like me that is into heavy metal, into both musically and visually with the movie Heavy Metal, because throughout the movie, there are multiple times that I thought I heard like some super sludgy doom metal. And the movie starts off, there's a scene where they're flying over, you know, the shot's pretty cool. They're flying over like the forest where he's working and King Crimson is playing. And it pointed out like before the movie starts, opening song by King Crimson. Boom. Like they wanted to bring your attention to the fact that we're listening to King Crimson right now, which is in itself fucking amazing for a movie. Because heavy metal and rock and roll and stuff isn't really represented in movies much anymore, except for like AC/DC and Iron Man, which is cool.
So this movie was good. It used a lot of interesting filmography.
Yeah.
The filters were kind of crimson red throughout most of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they had creepy synth 80s stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Normally you would go, oh, whatever. I've seen Halloween. I've seen Freddy Krueger. But no, this made you actually feel like you're on something.
Oh, for sure. And what's cool is, like, right now, I mean, there's a big push right now with 80 synth. There's a certain sound, and this movie took that and ran it in spades. They wanted you to feel like you were fucking tripping out.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. So there's a movie called Beyond the Black Rainbow that he did.
Okay.
And
just as a side note, it's kind of funny you mentioned that, where my band is trying to come up with a new name, and Beyond the Black Rainbow sounds like kind of a cool name.
What? Fuck you guys.
All right, I get it. Okay. Enough said about that.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. You just broke my heart. It's all right.
Oh, Clint.
What is going on over at your house, man? Like, somebody building some shit?
Yeah, there's a lot of construction.
Okay. Okay, cool. So anyway, so Mandy starts off, right? You got Logan, he jumps in a helicopter, refuses the beer, crazy red filter on everything, movie's an acid trip. I really felt like the chemistry between Nicolas Cage and his wife, which I gotta find the actress's name. She's a well-known actress. Her name is Andrea Riseborough. But anyway, so she does an amazing job in this movie of being very creepy and very fucking badass.
Well, yeah, like she's an artist, right?
Yeah, she's an artist.
And she would artist something, but it would flower out and be crazy.
Yeah, that's right.
So she was doing some like heavy metal artwork.
For anybody who's familiar with heavy metal, the old movie and the old comic books, it kind of phases in and out from reality into animated sequences of demons and dragons. But in the beginning of the movie, I really like how they made the relationship between Nicolas Cage and his wife very believable. And it was cool for people like me. It was almost like these would be people I would know and hang out with. Because she's wearing like a fucking heavy metal, like a...
She's got like a Black Sabbath shirt.
Yeah, she's got on like a Black Sabbath shirt. She's reading, you know, some weird like a spiritual book. Their house looks like it has a bunch of hippie shit all over it.
Which, it's 1983.
Right. Which makes it even cooler.
Yeah, like it's hard to get that shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, man, I think that like their relationship was awesome. Like the movies that they're watching are these campy old 80s horror films. It really set the mood for this movie perfectly, man. Just to back up a little bit, the movie's about a guy who lives in the woods with his wife. He's a logger. He has a healing factor. He's got claws that come out of his hands. Him and his wife are having a good time. And one day, walking down the road, his wife is like reading a book, and this cult drives by and sees her, and the cult leader automatically, immediately has to have her. That's the premise of the movie, and then it goes from there. And the cool thing is the way they film it, it makes you feel like you're in the movie. And God damn, that's loud. That shit is super loud over here. It's got to be loud for you.
What? The...
The whatever that noise just was.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, cool. There we go. Okay, so anyway, they get captured. The guys capture the wife. They bring her into their compound. They not only dose her with acid in the eyeball, they sting her in the neck with some, like, bullet wasp. And that's where the movie goes fucking apeshit.
Yeah, it's fucked up. The whole movie is really fucked up. And, yeah, anyway, I watched this with my wife, and she tapped out halfway in.
I didn't. She tapped out? Like, she gave up? She didn't keep watching?
No, she tapped out. She was like, this is too much. Even though this got 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's not for everybody.
Which is fair. I agree, man. Like, people like you or I, or people that are into pop culture, or people that are into cult classics, stuff like that, obviously this movie's amazing. But to the normal public, there are just some things that, like, I do not recommend.
Yeah. This gave my wife nightmares. So, my wife left the movie. She was like, this is up to you. And during that time, I was like, hey, sweetie, come back. You're gonna watch Nick Cage go Nick Cage on a whole bunch of people. And she's like, no, this movie's too fucked up. I'm watching something else. And she was in the basement. And I'm like, all right, sweetie, well, you're gonna miss it. And I'm looking back at the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you need to stay down there.
I take it back.
Wait a little bit. And it's not just being creeped out. The whole cinematography of the whole movie makes you feel like you're on drugs. That's how that cult exists, on hallucinogens. And they're fucked up in the head.
It was realistic as fuck, and I'm pretty sure somebody died in the making of that movie.
They really killed somebody.
I think they did. They really did. Here's the deal. Raising Arizona is one of my favorite movies of all time, and I loved his acting in Raising Arizona. However, in Mandy, he commences to do the best acting I think Nicolas Cage has ever done. And I will fight anybody on this.
Through most of the movie, I was like at an 11.
There is so much emotion and passion and good acting. He's fucking freaking out so well on camera that I'll never forget that. And then in amazing Nicolas Cage fashion, one by one, murdering everybody. There's a chainsaw fight. He's lopping heads off. One of the bad guys rips his cool shirt. So Nicolas Cage takes that very personally. He just yells, "You ripped my shirt!" Best line in the movie, one of them, his friend goes, "Hey man, just let you know, like, there's a lot of crazy shit going on with this cult. Like, a lot of bad news. I've been hearing, like, these guys are nuts. Don't do this. You're gonna die. Like, these guys are badass." And Nick Cage's response to that is, "Hey, don't be negative." Like, that's all he says is, like, "Don't be negative." And I was like, yes. One of the best scenes in the movie, cuts a dude's head off. The guy's on fire. Lops his head off. Finds an unlit cigarette on the ground, picks it up, and lights his cigarette on the dead guy's burning head.
Oh yeah, that happens.
Fucking awesome. Fucking awesome. The bad guys, just so you know, reminded me of, remember that movie Weird Science?
Well, of course.
I loved it. Remember the biker gang that shows up in Weird Science at the very end?
Yeah.
Well, in Mandy, I swear to God, these are the same bikers. What else, man? What else? Fucking he murders a bunch of people?
I gotta go to bed.
All right, buddy. Hey, have a good night, man.
All right. I'll be careful.
You ripped my damn shirt!
Thank you for listening to Because Nerd. If you liked it, make sure to subscribe, share, rate, or comment. And check out becausenerd.com for even more cool shit. And if the spirit has truly moved you, you can pledge your support directly to us on Patreon. Because Nerd is a production of Scriptic Media.